Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
We did it again. Another great big giant Friday show for you here at Catholic Answers Live. So happy to have you with us. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Second hour, we're going to celebrate 25 years as an apologist here at Catholic Answers with Jimmy Akin. Jimmy will be in and we'll do open forum. We'll take questions and all that, but you can also say hello to Jimmy if you like. And we have a cake and balloons and all that, but Jimmy doesn't know about it. So please, if you're listening, do not tell him in the next. He's not listening. Do you think? Oh, man, what if he's listening? Okay, no, he's not listening. So he's got to get ready for his hour. So I'm sure he's doing other things. This hour, if there is an Antichrist and a spirit of Antichrist, is there also an anti-Mary? That is a very serious question our first hour guest asked in a series of articles in the National Catholic Register, which if you're not getting, I highly recommend you get. And also in other places, our guest is Dr. Carrie Gress. She is a doctor in philosophy from the Catholic University of America. She's now a faculty member at Pontifex University. And her one of her recent books, she's got a whole bunch of them, but one of her recent books was The Marian Option, or is The Marian Option, God's Solution to a Civilization in Crisis. And she writes that in the process of writing that book, this question started to come up for her. Is there a spirit of the anti-Mary? Is there an anti-Mary that comes into the world? Dr. Carrie Gress, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Our number is 888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. So tell us a little bit about how this idea came to you and what it means, anti-Mary.
Right. It's a great question. It really came to me when I was looking at just this huge swath of information about Mary and Jesus. And it always comes up when you're talking about theological background that Mary is the new Eve, Christ is the new Adam. And, at one point it struck me that we hear about an Antichrist, but we've never actually heard about an anti-Mary, at least I hadn't heard of it. I also looked at the culture around us and it just seemed like it really was an idea that fit. I didn't really have, and I don't mean this in the sense of an actual person. I just mean it's a spirit that kind of has swept over everything. And the other thing is, too, I think that this last century, there's so many markers to indicate that Our Lady has been present through certainly apparitions like Fatima. But you also have this uptick of discussion about Our Lady within papal documents. And so I think that there's this real battle going on. And to even see what the role that women have played in this last century. I mean, this corrupting of women. If I say to someone who is a radical feminist, you know, the real model of womanhood is the Virgin Mary, you know, they might actually hit me. I mean, it's become that toxic.
Yeah, that's right.
And yet that has been the model. And in fact, that Our Lady has been the model for the dignity the women have. It's come through the church. It's come from Christ himself, but also through the person of Our Lady. And so all of these pieces have kind of washed away. And so what we're seeing is this real corruption of womanhood. And I think those are some of the distinctive marks that we can see what has happened with women. And we can talk about that further. But I think we can also see what's happened with men as a result of what's happened with women. So it's not just something that affects women, but I think we can see a real decay that has sort of spread out in very malicious ways. And yet the real change that took place, you know, with the sexual revolution, in many ways was focused around this idea that women should no longer make themselves available to having children, and that, in fact, having children is an obstacle to their happiness. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, at the heart of it is this idea, which, you know, is completely against who Our Lady was and her openness to her son and her yes. And, you know, we see that contrast even in the discussion. You know, Peter Crave makes this great point about women always saying, you know, my body, my choice, contrasting that with Christ's point about this is my body given up for you. So anyway, there's a lot of pieces to it, but I'm actually working on a list right now of the 12 marks of the anti-Mary. Fulton Sheen did an article on the 12 marks of the Antichrist. So I don't think it's going to be too hard to work up.
No, it doesn't. And I have to say, I'm grateful to you for in the book, The Marian Option. Something finally came together for me in reading it, this idea that Mary is doing something, that she's doing something right now in the world, and the signs of it are all around us. You talk about, apparitions as far back. I think the farthest you go back is Our Lady of Guadalupe. But up to Fatima and this idea that she is saying something that the modern world needs to hear, absolutely needs to hear, and that and what we're doing mostly is not listening, I suppose.
But there's plenty of that.
There's plenty of not listening going around. But one of the kind of, as modernity progresses and continues in its constant revolutions, because that's one of the signs of modernity, is that it has to be in a constant state of revolution, and it can never settle down and just be at peace. These revolutions are not making people's lives better, and we're just supposed to not notice that. But in your writing, you said, okay, so what would an anti-Mary movement look like exactly? Well, these women would not value children. They would be bawdy, vulgar, and angry. They would rage against the idea of anything resembling humble obedience or self-sacrifice for others. And it goes on and on like that. And you think, well, that is without... I mean, that's what a good portion of our society is, both men and women. We're outraged. We're self-centered. We will not sacrifice for others. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to share? How are you going to get us to listen to Mary, given all that?
Well, I think that's a great question. And I think this is the big question is really, how do we start inching back towards who Our Lady is, helping women understand that? I think the first place to start is really to just address the rage. Why are people so angry? And it really is something. In fact, there's a new TV program coming out. I remember I just saw an ad last or an article last week saying, this is very timely that show is coming out. It's full of rage and tumult. And that's exactly what we need more of, is getting, really making people angry. So I think that between the unhappiness and the rage, that I think that's part of it, is just people are really broken. I mean, even asking the question, what happens when you have a culture where a huge percentage of the people have been complicit with abortion? There's a lot of, sadness. There's a lot of rage. All of those kinds of, walking wounded signs are out there. So I think that's part of the problem. Of course, the very simple but right answer is, always going back to prayer, always going back to Our Lady, praying the rosary, Marian consecration, trying to draw closer to her, because she will then, sort of send us out in a way that we can reach women. And I think that's really where the solution is going to come from, where she's directing us to reach the people around us and in our own lives, that we can help bring healing in so many different ways, or even just listening. I think listening goes an incredibly long way in helping people process rage and anger. But that's not I haven't found the silver bullet yet for how do you, solve the whole country. Short of
we're definitely going to have you
Our Lady.
On when you do have the silver bullet.
Well, when I come up with it, I will let you know.
Well, I mean, one of the words that we get when we talk about both Jesus and Mary again and again and again is obedience. The fact that Christ himself is obedient, even though he is God. We don't. That's a word that is so offensive to the modern world. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it is particularly offensive to the modern woman. The idea that obedience is a key to human happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's just a distortion of the word of freedom. I mean, really understanding the popular understanding of freedom is that you can do whatever you want. And that's real freedom. And in fact, of course, we know that that's just ends up becoming a different kind of slavery. I have to say, I was at a conference yesterday in Washington, D.C., called the Me Too Moment, Reconsidering the Sexual Revolution. And it was put on by the Catholic Women's Forum and the Notre Dame Center for Ethics and Culture. And it was just fantastic. Cardinal Worrell spoke, and then Mary Eberstadt and Helen Alvray, and then incredible panelists. And it, what really, it just the resounding message to me that came out of this was that there's so much that really hinges upon contraception and abortion, and that so many of our issues just keep cycling around, you know, on that issue. And I think that, that's something that we really need to pray about. We also need to educate people about. And if there is some kind of a silver bullet, that's it. As far as, you know, dealing with human trafficking, pornography, a lot of the cancers that are associated with the pill, STDs, all this mental illness, so many of these things are centered around the abuse of individuals and really commodifying babies and women. And so I think that there's it's an important piece of it. And it's certainly part of the anti-Mary spirit that those are really what have put fuel on a fire and really made all of these things explode over the last 40 years. I mean, this is not progress. This has been real regress back to a kind of slavery that's just building on each other. One of the statistics yesterday was the city of Atlanta alone makes $200 million off of human trafficking. Washington, D.C. makes $40 million a year off of human trafficking. I mean, the numbers are just staggering how many people are being bought and sold. 27 million people are involved in that slave trade. It's just daunting.
Yeah, if we pursue a false freedom, we end up enslaving one another and becoming enslaved ourselves.
As you said,
to things like pornography, which is enslaving many, many. And also becoming slaves to our anger and our upset and our demands and all these things that we have. One thinks of who was it? Was it Jeremiah that said, "You say peace, peace, but there is no peace"? That sounds very much like our age. We'll take a quick break. We're talking about the anti-Mary with Dr. Carrie Gress. Among her many books is The Marian Option: God's Solution to a Civilization in Crisis. She is indeed right. Our civilization is in crisis, and there is a spirit of anti-Mary loose in the world. If you have questions about that or would like to comment, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Summer is upon us, and though the temperatures are going up, the prices are coming down during Catholic Answers' first ever summer book sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, dozens of great books are available for $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. This is the time to load up on solid Catholic books for you, your friends, and your family. The spectacular online event offers savings of 50% and more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of esteemed authors, evangelists, and apologists. We've even got all of the books in our Catholic Answers Classics series marked down. Log on now to shop.catholic.com and take advantage of what will be one of the most exciting sales of the summer. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers. Log on to shop.catholic.com and start saving today.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited-time offer we've got right now on subscriptions to our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, we'll give you a digital subscription to the magazine for free. Subscribe today by calling 818-487-2011 or logging online to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. Better yet, become a two-year subscriber and we'll up the ante by dropping the price $20. That's a saving of $10 to $20 plus a free digital subscription when you sign up for a subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now. This is our best offer of the year and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com today.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. It is our Great Big Giant Friday show, and that's why we have big shots like Dr. Carrie Gress on with us to help us get through Friday. And we have this very important idea that she's been working on, this idea that if there is an antichrist, if there's a spirit that's opposed to Christ and also an individual or individuals who arise throughout history as the church teaches, is there a spirit that opposes Mary, and one that also has individuals arise from time to time to challenge, to give us a different understanding of womanhood than Mary presents, one that is separated from the dignity of relationship with God and friendship with God and indeed obedience to God's commands. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. You can find in the National Catholic Register, if you go to the website and just search anti-Mary, you'll find several articles by Dr. Gress. Would you be ready to go to calls, or I'm just trying to remember if we had left something hanging, but I don't think we did. Let's start with Jackie in Livonia, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Jackie, Jackie is not there. I'm having a hard time. Okay, Dave in Pittsburgh, you better be there, Dave, listening on Sirius XM satellite radio to EWTN. Dave, you have a question for Dr. Carrie Gress?
I do. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you for being there.
Right. So I guess my question surrounds the an attack on the actual Catholic doctrine as it relates to Our Lady. Most recently, and I'll be quick as possible, actually it was yesterday, I was watching a Christian television station, and they were doing a documentary on Fatima and the apparitions of Fatima. And I was shocked when the folks that were being interviewed were talking about or suggesting that, and again, they didn't identify the Catholic faith, but they were suggesting that we were somehow involved in goddess worship. And that, it was actually repulsive. I mean, but I was so shocked because I've never seen anything like that. And so my question to you is, are you seeing more? Are you hearing more about, you know, I mean, not the standard attacks, but when they're actually producing, you know, pieces for or content for, you know, other Christian denomination broadcasts, and, you know, they surround this, you know, attack on Our Lady. Are you seeing much more of that? And does that sort of relate to, you know, the anti-Mary concept that you're discussing now?
Dr. Gress?
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. That's a great question. You know, one of the things that I have noticed is that there is this, we see throughout history that God always sends the antidote to the corruption or the heresy or the problem of an age. And so we see, you know, St. Benedict comes along when Rome's crumbling. You've got St. Francis that comes along when the church is being choked by riches. So he's the little poor man. You've got the Jesuits for the Reformation. And so that was one of the other pieces that I looked at when I was thinking about the anti-Mary. Like, what is this this problem of our age? And of course, I think it really is womanhood. And so I think that what I've noticed is sort of this uptick in, you know, very anti-Marian aggression. I mean, there was even in Canada there. I mean, there's just some appalling things. You know, a fake or a staged abortion of Jesus, and you know, I mean, it's just horrendous things. Yeah, and I think that we're seeing the sides sort of split. You know, you're having these very radical anti-Mary things, and then on the other hand, Mary just keeps encouraging her flock through certainly through prayer, certainly through certain apparitions. And so it seems like the camps are being divided, but, there's obviously been a lot of anti-Mary, ness throughout history. And actually, I think it's, John Henry Cardinal Newman who talks about, or was he made a saint? No, he's still a blessed, I think. But in any event, he talks about how as you know, what happens to the faith is as soon as you toss out Mary, things are going to start crumbling. And so I think that we can see that also as a trend in many ways, just all the splitting in, among the Protestant church, the Anglican church's issues, all of these kinds of things. And that there is, when people do stay close to Our Lady, there's this protection that happens there. So, I would definitely say that's part of the anti-Mary is really, there's this type of woman has to be upheld, this woman who's very free to do with whatever she wants with their body. And of course, all the statistics are showing that these are the women that are miserable. Their depressions rates are high, suicide rates are high, alcohol abuse, substance abuse, all of these kinds of things are clearly not showing flourishing women. It is just like you said earlier, Cy, this kind of enslavement that's going to come from it.
Okay, Dave. Oh, do we have Dave?
Your answer. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. When we think about an anti-Mary spirit in the world, would you say, there's this struggle that we have in the scripture between Mary and Satan himself. And why, I guess the way I want to ask it is, why is this kind of put on Mary? Why is she so much the locus of Satan's hatred? And why is she also given special graces by God to be the combatant against Satan? Mm-hmm. What about her makes her that?
Before I want to go back to another piece before I segue into the answer to your question. But I think another point about the anti-Mary is that we've never seen anything like it historically. Historically, whenever there's massive destruction, it's force. It's a lot of violence, and it's real destruction. So I think you can say that that's a masculine kind of destruction, an antichrist kind of destruction. And this is entirely different, where you have a whole class of women who have turned on their own children. And so I think that that's another piece of it. But in any event, I think parcel of that is just given the fact of who she is. She's the mother of Jesus. She is the new Eve. She is the one that said yes. She is the one that, it was her yes that it really provided this opportunity for Christ to come into the world for our salvation. And so I think that that's an important piece. She's not just like any other saint, but in fact, she really was a co-redemptrix not equal to Christ's redemptive effort. But without her, it wouldn't have happened. So I think that that's an important piece. I think that, and that's one of the reasons why I think Satan has, and the spirit of the anti-Mary has chosen to come after women, because women are supposed to be like her. It's no accident that all the women at the foot of the cross have the name Mary. We're supposed to mimic that and mimic her at the foot of the cross and be like Mary. So I think that that's the main reason. And quite frankly, if you get the women, you're going to get everybody else. I mean, we know the converse works as well. Look at the way families operate. Yeah. There's this great story about a priest who wanted vocation. So he started a mother's group, a woman's group. He started with the women, then he went to the fathers and the husbands, and then finally, father, son, mother, daughter group. And then finally started something with just to help with the vocations. But he knew to start with that soil of the woman. And without starting there, or if you corrupt that soil, everything else is going to fall apart.
Dr. Gress, today in the New York Times, there's an article about women who are becoming radically, what they call themselves, traditionalists. And this is secular. This has nothing to do with the Catholic Church or anything. And they're involved in kind of right-wing, racist, white supremacist movements, and they're having lots of children, and they're saying that we need more white children and all this. And reading it was very sad to read it. Because it struck me that if you have a society that radically demands that women be this over here, and that's not really what women want, there's a certain number of people who are going to go for that and be talked into that. But there's also a certain number of people who will go to the opposite extreme and be a kind of caricature of a woman in order to, like a cartoon woman instead of finding the healthy place in the middle. Is that something that Mary can help us with as far as finding that healthy place in the middle? And
yeah.
I mean, she seems kind of extreme in some ways, but she's, you know, she's not going to defend her womanhood by becoming a white supremacist mom.
Right. You know, I think Aristotle can help us better as far as just trying to understand.
A philosopher.
We can go from one extreme to the other. I mean, this is one of the things that it just makes me cringe when I read, you know, certain criticisms of my points, because people think that I'm suggesting this extreme of, you know, we should all just cover ourselves and just be baby machines. You know, I'm not suggesting that at all. And I think that there is this happy middle. There is this area. Because the fact of the matter is God wants us to use our gifts, and God wants us to really flourish. That's when God is given the most glory. You know, most of us would say we're not going to be flourishing under that kind of yoke. And actually, I think, you know, there's this point in the 50s that happened where there really weren't opportunities for women to flourish. There was this expectation that you stayed home, and that there wasn't the faith life was, I think, in many ways, very superficial. So you have all these people or these pieces confluencing together and creating a time bomb. And that's really what the reaction of feminism was reacting against. And of course, we know they
went
kept
too
running
far.
With it.
Yeah, right,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And became allies, feminist allies of the sexual revolution. And that's not necessary
right.
either. You can
right.
be pro-woman
exactly.
and not have nothing
right.
to do with. As a matter of fact, you're better off if you don't. Dr. Carrie Gress is our guest. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this with your calls on the Anti-Mary.
This is Pat Buchanan. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Meneses.
The Catechism is very clear in Numbers 1033, 1035, and 1037 that it takes only one mortal sin to have one go to hell by their own doing. God sends no one to hell.
Open Line with Father Wade Meneses, Tuesday afternoon, 3 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
If only evangelization was easy, but the truth of the matter is that most of the time it's not. Talking about the Catholic faith is enough of a challenge even before dealing with the roadblocks that keep people from listening with an open mind. Apologist Carlo Broussard recognized that as he wrote Prepare the Way, a guide to step-by-step strategies that readers can use to break down those barriers, barriers to the very existence of God and religious truth, barriers to basic Christian beliefs, and barriers to the distinctive teachings and claims of the Catholic Church. Don't let obstacles get in your way. Learn how to overcome them. Order your copy of Prepare the Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Interested in visiting Catholic Answers? If you live in or plan to visit beautiful Southern California, we'd love to have you come by for a tour. You can meet our apologists and staff, visit our chapel, and watch the broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. To arrange a tour, call us at 619-387-7200 or email us at visit@catholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Feeling a little bit goofy on a Friday, to tell you the honest truth. I'm glad there's going to be cake in here in a little while. And if anybody tells Jimmy before he gets here that there's going to be cake, I will come to your house. Do not put it on the internet. It's 25 years of being an apologist for Jimmy Akin, and he will be in here to celebrate. Well, we'll surprise him with a celebration in a little bit. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. We're talking about an idea from Dr. Carrie Gress. She has written about this in the National Catholic Register. It's an idea that if there is a Antichrist, and if there's a spirit in the world that is Antichrist, is there a spirit that is also anti-Mary? And particularly, Dr. Gress, you pointed to in our last segment this idea that we've never seen anything like this before, a worldwide movement of women attacking their own children or rejecting the very idea of being mothers. This is a different animal. This is not like the rise of a Nazi ideology, which is very, very male. I'll just crush the whole world. This is something happening on the level
or
of
communism.
Or Genghis Khan, or you can go all through history. It's this is a new thing, and it doesn't have an anti-Christ feel. It has an anti-Mary feel. Is that what you were getting at?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And if you look at elite women today, I mean, there are very few elite women that have any kind of place on the center stage that are promoting life. I mean, let's face it. There's really like a gag on conservative pro-life women. And, you know, one has to wonder why. Part of it has to do, of course, just with the nature of how people promote each other. But, you know, look at just how someone like Sarah Sanders is treated. I mean, she's been treated abominably, you know, everything from her looks to all of that. So, yeah, that's usually generally how conservative women are treated. There's something more deeper going on than just hatred.
And when we went to the break, I was just kind of connecting that idea that the women's liberation movement, the authentic women's liberation movement, meaning the movement that goes back to the 19th century of women should be allowed to vote and women should be in the workplace and schools, advanced learning should be open to women and high powered positions should all this. The world should be open to women. It shouldn't be closed off to women. In the 1960s, it became paired with this idea that liberation was connected to sexual licentiousness. Before that, it had not been paired with that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been very destructive, both of the authentic women's movement and of society in general.
Yeah, hugely destructive. And at this conference I mentioned that I was at yesterday, two of the doctors were actually talking about this idea of someone in the audience said, you know, isn't it the pill that has allowed you to become doctors in the first place? And hasn't this advancement that you have, shouldn't you be grateful for that? Because it does come from contraception. And both of them were very quick to say, you know, it hasn't come from that. And in fact, what it has done is it has allowed this model of women in the workplace to remain static, where we still don't know what to do with a pregnant woman in the workplace. Or if we do, it's a great hardship. Well, why have we not, after all these years, figured out how to manage this better when we are dealing with fertile women? And that's because of the pill, because so many women are on the pill and are contracepting, that it's just never push has never come to shove. And so I think that's part of it. And it also extends itself into the medical field, where you've got women, you know, the short answer for every medical problem, it seems like, is just put someone on the pill, which it's not really medicine. It's just masking. You know, you're not getting to the root issue of a woman's fertility issues or whatever she's got going on. You're just sort of masking the issue with the pills. So, you know, I keep saying, you know, why can't you figure out where morning sickness comes from? I mean, this is a basic problem that women have had for a long time. We can put someone on the moon and all these technological things, but we can't solve morning sickness. So, I think it's really stunted medicine for women as well.
I have no interest in the morning sickness cure. Why is that? I don't know. I see what you're saying. Like there are very, very concrete pro-women things that should be happening. It is insane that the world still can't, if we're going to say women are going to be in the workplace, as you just said, it's striking to me that it's like everybody goes crazy. What are we supposed to do with a pregnant woman in the world? Well, that's what happens to women between a certain age and a certain other age. Right. She's going to get pregnant.
Right.
So why is that not? I think even in many ways, it's looked on as she's committed some offense by being pregnant.
It really is. You know, and I can say, you know, one of the most striking experiences I had as a pregnant woman was walking around a college campus because – and I, you know, I was a graduate student. I was much older, but it just struck me. I'm walking around pregnant. Half of these women, they're all fertile, and we know that there are abortions happening from this all the time. That there's just this. There's no way to really get around. How do we deal with helping women on college campuses? How do we make it so that it's something acceptable and you're not standing out like a sore thumb because you're a pregnant woman on campus? I mean, it just doesn't exist. I think that there's a lot of things that we don't think about because we've just kind of contracepted our way out of them or kind of poured ourselves into this masculine mold that just doesn't work all the time.
Right. We still have a society where a woman can't just be a woman She's got to be kind of like an imitation of a man.
Pseudo woman, right? Yeah, exactly. Right. Or pseudo man, exactly.
Right. Right. Or as Gloria Purvis says, she loved the Catholic Church because she didn't have to leave her fertility at the door when she joined.
Yeah.
And that's right. You do have to leave your fertility at the door in some jobs, in some places.
Certainly. Yeah. Yep. Certainly some jobs.
Let's go to Martin in Poolsville, Washington, listening on 1050 a.m. there. Martin, your question for Dr. Carrie Gress.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to mention, too, I wish some of the hosts would have spell the last name of the guest sometimes.
Oh,
the question is
you
this.
Mean Dr. Carrie Gress, G-R-E-S-S, like that?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I appreciate that. I had never thought of that before, and I should have done it. That's good. Nice call. You got anything for her, or you just wanted to?
Oh, yeah.
You have made me a better host.
I was going to say, based on the Marian apparitions, you think that the only way to world peace is through devotion to Mary?
Yes. I do, actually.
Boy, come on. Could you draw that answer out a little bit?
Would you like me to say more to that?
Yeah.
No, I do. I mean, by and large, I think Our Lady has been the best intercessor for us throughout history. There's time and again we can see that she's done things geopolitically. She's ended wars. She's helped Christians. She's evangelized. And, you know, all of this is covered in the Marian option in my book. And, I do think that is really what is going to be at the heart of it. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm always encouraging praying the rosary and Marian consecration, because I think that there's just such an incredible power is unleashed, incredible graces that are going to flow into these broken hearts of people, that are going to transform people, that are going to bring conversions that like we've never seen. You know, imagine if some of the, like just 10, pick 10 of the elite women in the culture. Let's just take Cecile Richards, the head of Planned Parenthood. Well, she stepped down now. Or someone like Madonna. Imagine if these people converted. Of course, they probably would be silenced and we'd never hear from them again. But, you know, these are to actually have some these conversions, I think, is not it's not beyond the imagination. I think they could actually happen. And I think this is where our prayers need to go. I've been praying for Sting for decades now, that he would have a conversion back to the faith. But, I think we need to be praying for celebrities. I think we need to be praying for all these broken people in our communities and in our families, because the graces are really there. Our Lady really wants to transform the world in ways that I think we sort of think the rosary is just too simple. It can't really be that effective. And yet that's really where it's this hidden, you know, it's that stone of David really slaying Goliath, I think. Or slaying.
Slaying. Yes. Not anyway, slewing.
Yeah.
No. How's that, Martin?
Slayed.
That's wonderfully said. I appreciate it. God bless both of you.
You too, Martin. Thank you very much. And it is wonderfully said. But that's what we're just used to it from Dr. Carrie Gress. That it is. You mentioned praying for celebrities, praying for. There's a way in which it almost seems like, and I when you were saying that, this struck me that it seems like now that we've had this sexual revolution, the world is committed in a way to trying everything except going back to sanity before it will go back to sanity. But there does come a point at which you have actually tried everything else and it hasn't made you happy. And so, I mean, I suppose maybe we could hope that we're near the end of that process. But I don't know. There's something in our, maybe it's shame, that says that we don't want to admit that this was wrong. We shouldn't have done this. I don't know. What's your view on that?
Kind of a combination of things. Absolutely. I mean, I think it's sort of that built-in, pride and shame and just ignorance. I know that, even talking about just how pornography changes the brain and actually creates false thinking and all kinds of distortions of the mind. So I think that's part of the problem when you've got nearly 80% of men actively involved in it in one way or another. So that's problematic. But for women, I think too, there's this veil of ignorance that it just couldn't possibly be that. I mean, it takes a real honest person to look back somewhere. And I think it's grace. I think the other factor is just even encountering someone that can help guide you back or can explain to you the teachings of the church. I mean, that's a real issue that we've got too. Trying to reach out to people that we don't necessarily think will be receptive to our message, is, I think it can be hard to do. So there's that basic point too of just being present to others and listening to them and, you know, trying to help walk them back to even a place where they can think straight is the first step.
Yeah, indeed. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on the anti-Mary and the spirit of anti-Mary in the world today with Dr. Kerry Grass right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers. Our success depends on you.
Join us this September for a conference that is sure to ignite and inform your faith.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
And I'm having the time of my life.
Early bird pricing ends July 2nd. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Kerry Grass, our guest this hour, her latest book, or not the latest book, but the book that we're kind of connecting our conversation to today is The Marian Option, God's Solution to a Civilization in Crisis. I wonder if there's anybody left who would disagree that we're a civilization in crisis. You feel like, okay, like everyone.
There is, actually. I've met these people. I have met a few people that would say, they're actually better now. Economically, we're much better off. And yeah, I mean, you have to sort of ignore a whole host of issues or not think that they're problems to begin with. But yeah, there have been people that responded to me.
Well, it is. I mean, they're not wrong that things are better in many, many ways. I mean, we're poverty is being overcome all around the world. And you're right, in economic terms. We do have that thing that keeps happening in the Bible over and over again. And then in salvation history where there seems to be an inverse relationship to material prosperity and willingness to listen to God. So, we better figure that.
Not necessarily helping us.
Yeah. No, and we had to figure that one out. There's a call that dropped, but it was an interesting question. Margot from Michigan asked, "What in the Catholic Church do we base this anti-Mary idea on, Dr. Grass?"
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the real foundation for it comes from the fact that St. John speaks about, not in Revelation. In Revelation, he's speaking about an antichrist as an individual. But John speaks of this antichrist as a spirit that is in the world, that there will be a spirit of in the world. And so I just was really extrapolating off of that idea insofar as thinking, There is something different about this. There is something very unique about this age that we're living in. And it's very feminine in with respect to the fact that it focuses on women, but it also emasculates men. I mean, look at all of this, you know, vitriol against toxic masculinity. I mean, they're really trying to denude men at the same time. And this force going towards gender neutrality. I think Gloria Steinem is the one that has been most outspoken about this, that she's really driving towards, you know, erasing gender altogether. She's proud of the fact that she's, you know, equally comfortable with whomever, and she just feels very genderless. So, yeah, I think that there's the biblical foundation for it. But, you know, much of it has to do with the empirical and just an explanation of what it is that we're seeing on such a dramatic level, coupled with the fact that you have this increase in Marian devotion, Marian apparitions. You know, it's the two kind of working together in tandem that you see this real tension between Our Lady and the anti-Mary that's happening.
And I'm fascinated by what you just said. It seems like an attack on women, that and we don't think, we think of this as such a great time of liberation for women, but that's always the trick, right, isn't it? That the devil doesn't just tell an outright lie. He takes something that's true and twists it and twists it and twists it until it's inhuman.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And we're seeing that with, you know, even surrogacy, like look at, and IVF. I mean, look at how many embryos are frozen. In fact, I just heard about a series of freezers in England. 1.7 million embryos were wiped out. You know, how, I mean, ontologically, what does that even mean to have all of these embryos that were first there that, you know, parents aren't claiming and will never be brought to term? I mean, how long do you leave them? Do you use them for experimentation? Which, of course, has been a long debate about that. But, you know, it is inhuman. It's absolutely inhuman. And, you know, we're moving towards the trend. Jennifer Lull, who's with the Center for Bioethics and Culture, I think is the title of her organization. She's talking about how people are planning to have, they're encouraging wombs so that a woman doesn't actually have to carry a baby anymore. You can just rent a womb. It's not a real person's womb. It's actually just this amniotic sac that sort of does the work for you. And, you know, what that would mean in the future. Will women be encouraged to do that? Will it become more expedient to do that and healthier to do that so they wouldn't even be allowed to carry a child? Anyway, all of these kinds of things that sound very fantastical, but, you know, if you look at what we're doing already, they're not that fantastical.
But it is true also that in such a world where these absurdities become common everyday things, the person who does not participate in those absurdities, even just lives a regular normal life, stands out more and more. So then the witness becomes both maybe more difficult because people just see you as a very strange weirdo, but also easier because you don't have to do anything extraordinary anymore. If you're a woman and you carry a baby, you're a witness. You know,
it's true.
And increasingly, if you're a family that, you know, you find out a child has Down syndrome and you welcome that child, you're a witness.
Right. And absolutely.
And all you're doing is what everybody always did forever.
Exactly.
That is a striking witness when you do it. Yeah. I have to say, I want to spend an hour on that sometime, just talking about what's happening to Down syndrome people, because it is, it's just,
you know.
Go ahead.
A friend of mine just had a baby with spina bifida, and they were in the hospital with the child for a long time. And the nursing staff didn't even know how to deal with this child. They'd never experienced a child with spina bifida. Like, they were just completely at odds with, you know, how do we help take care of this child? Because they had never encountered one, which, you know, is sort of horrifying when you've got an entire nursing staff that has never dealt, you know, what has happened to all these children. They've obviously been aborted.
All right.
Probably tragic.
So just being a woman who lives out her womanhood, or a man who lives out his manhood, and we all live out our personhood in a way that is obedient to God, can it's just going to shine like crazy if the world continues the way it's going. But we can let's pray that we don't have to, though.
Well, and I think it also sort of, you know, thinking about the anti-Mary, I think also might be helpful to a lot of men who have a lot of resentment towards women, because, and believe me, I can appreciate why men would have resentment towards women. But it also, I think, could just maybe help shine light on, like, clearly women have been attacked and we need to pray for them in a very particular way that they can reclaim some of this femininity and what it is that God's called them to do, rather than sort of feeling like they just need to be bitter with us for their whole life, kind of.
Right. And as a man, you're not doing anybody any favors by knuckling under the pressure to support the nonsense of the sexual revolution. You're not doing anybody any favors.
Men
need to get a little backbone about that and say, I'm sorry, I'm not going down that road.
Right.
I think many women experience that as a relief too. Let's go to Chris in Florida watching on Facebook Live. Thanks for watching on Facebook Live. Chris, your question for Dr. Kerry Gress, G-R-E-S-S.
Thank you, Sal, and thank you, Dr. Gress. I'm a retired Protestant minister, and, and I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm not anti-Mary. And I know she's blessed among women.
Amen.
So my question really is, and I volunteer to drive people to different places, and I went to this Catholic retreat. And it was a retreat where everybody was involved with Mary. I can't remember the name of the group or the organization, but it's a. Mm-hmm. But it was basically where everybody dedicated themselves to Mary, and there was really no mention of Jesus in that conference. I was a little bit shocked by that. I am very pro-life in every respect. But I'm not totally understanding the co-centric type
piece
for Mary. And I just wonder if that's just with the Catholic Church or is it with all Orthodox churches as well?
Chris, thank you very much for your question. And, the reality is that I think that there is this very difficult piece of Our Lady that I think Protestants deal with. And so, I can certainly understand where you're coming from. But the one thing that I always come back to is, first of all, Our Lady, wherever she has appeared and throughout history, is never pointing to herself. She's always, always, always taking us to her Son. And I think it's tied to even just that notion of, God gave us a mother. He gave us this woman that wants to spiritually help us get to her Son. I mean, this is what a good mother on earth does. And I think this is one of the reasons why women are being attacked, because if you have a good mother on earth, then you can understand the good spiritual mother. So let's destroy good motherhood and then no one will understand Our Lady. Whenever people are talking about that, there's this sense that we are her children. And so that she's a real person in our lives that is interceding for us. So I can understand your concern that Christ isn't mentioned or Jesus isn't mentioned at this conference, but I think you need to understand some of where they're coming from, we understand her to be this intercessor for us. But we also know that we're not worshiping her, we're worshiping her Son, and that she always takes us to him. So the closer that we draw to her, the closer we're going to get to her Son. They just work in tandem that way. And so I think that's part of it. But yes, it is my understanding that it's similar in the Orthodox church. And certainly when you go into Orthodox church, you're going to find all kinds of icons to Our Lady. There's several famous ones and huge devotions to Mary. And actually, when I wrote the Marian option, the first time I spoke about it was at a conference, and I had an Orthodox priest in the audience, and he sort of poo-pooed my idea about the Marian option. And then I saw him a year later at the same conference, and he said, I spent the last year praying and praying with other people, and you're absolutely right. Mary is the answer. I mean, he just was seeing so much healing coming through Our Lady. So I think that there's this common reality. And it's not, it's not that we either have Jesus or we have Mary. It's like your family. You wouldn't say, I can't love my mom if I love my dad, or vice versa. It's, it's a family. And so that's why women and men and many Catholics and Orthodox are turned to Our Lady, because we understand that family notion. It's not either or, it can be both and instead of one or the other.
Chris, thank you so much for the patience and generosity of your tone in asking the question.
Yeah, was that really beautiful.
Was that answer helpful to you?
Thank you very much.
It
was very helpful. And, if Mary's pointing to her Son Jesus, then I really, as the Redeemer, then I have no problem, really.
The one thing I would say to you, Chris, is you know, you obviously have a close relationship with Christ. I would pray to him and ask him how he wants you to treat his mother. And I think that, you know, if you open yourself up to that answer, you're going to find a lot.
Chris, if you'll hang on, I'd like to send you Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother, which kind of delves into this Catholic understanding of Mary. If you don't want it, you don't have to take it. But if you'd like a free copy of it, hang on, and our call screener, Thomas, will get your address, and we'll send it to you. Dr. Carrie Gress, thanks so much for another just great
Thank
hour.
Thank you. Yes, well, congratulations, Jimmy, and enjoy the cake.
Oh, shh. He's standing right there.
Well, he already knows. Doesn't he know?
No, you didn't do it. That's okay. He's laughing right now.
Congratulations, Jimmy.
I have a suspicion that some of our friends on Facebook had let the proverbial cat out of the proverbial bag. Jimmy Akin coming up next, open forum, and also just an opportunity for you to chat with Jimmy on his 25th anniversary. It's fascinating that his 25th anniversary comes on the feast day of Justin Martyr, the first great apologist and the patron of apologists. That's coming up next on Catholic Answers Live.